Psalm 116. Yep, I tell people all the time, my wife plays the piano, and my oldest son plays the piano, clarinet, and violin. Brian plays piano a little bit, and trumpet a lot. He's good at that. And I play the radio. So I just get the right along on their coattails, so they appreciate them. So, all right, tonight I'm going to preach a message entitled, I Love the Lord Because. I Love the Lord Because. And of course, we had a great day today. I enjoyed preaching. And like I told you this morning, I felt a little bit more relaxed. I didn't feel like I was on display or on having judgment, things like that. But again, I always get nervous when I speak. And I hope that never changes, because I feel like that helps me trust the Lord more, not depend on myself. But tonight we're going to talk about I Love the Lord Because, and of course, I know you probably could, as I can as well, just list a whole lot of reasons why I love the Lord. But we'll narrow it down to four tonight, so we're not here all night long. But the Bible says in Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, it says here, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore, I will call Him as long as I live. So the first thing that I love the Lord because tonight is because He hears my prayers. He hears my prayers. When something arises that you need God to help you with, there's confidence. There's comfort. We could just start listing a whole lot of things that He actually hears you. Obviously Brother Charlie is not feeling well tonight, and I believe we prayed for him a while ago. I believe God heard us, and Lord, we hope He has His will and touches His body. And so we have that confidence that God hears our prayers. And it says right there, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice. Now, of course, in the Bible it teaches that, not everybody can just pray prayers. They become their vain repetition, and they're just words. You might have made fun of somebody about their prayer bouncing off the ceiling, boing, 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 and not getting through, things like that. And there's things that will, if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. If the husband and wife have issue at all against each other, the Bible says, let not the sun go down upon that. We need to take care of that. There's all kinds of reasons that God, plugs up His ears and not doesn't hear it. But if you're right with Him, you can have confidence that He hears us. So underneath this, I love the Lord because He hears my prayers. First thing, we can have boldness that God hears us. Hebrews 10:19 through 23. Hebrews 10:19-23 tells us that we can have boldness. Now, a lot of times we hear the word boldness, we might attach cockiness to it. Like, I hate the phrase, the big man upstairs. I think that's irreverent. I think that's, stepping over the line big time. He's God, and He's got a lot of other names you can call Him except that. We're not on the same plane with Him. We don't tell Him what to do. He's not a genie in a lamp, that type of stuff. We can have boldness, but we don't say, hey, look here. I'm not coming to God like that. The Bible says here, having therefore brethren, so that when it's talking brethren there, it's talking about saved people. So this applies to saved people. We can have boldness if we're saved. We belong to God. So God tells us to come to Him boldly if we're saved. It says here, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. So again, we don't kick the door down in that throne room and start telling God what we demand and how we want it done and when we want it done, things like that. But we can go into that room with boldness and say, I belong here. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. If the blood of Jesus has been applied, you're saved. You're God's child, and He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to ask Him for things. Just like our kids. A small child most of the time thinks mom and dad can do everything. They're the smartest people in the world. They're the strongest. They're this, that, the other. And of course they get a little older, and then they're like, mom, dad, and things like that. But then they get a little older, and they come right back around that mom, dad's smart, and they got it all together and things like that. But we can have that boldness because of the blood of Christ. Verse 20 says this, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. So He took care of it. He made it possible for us to come to the throne room and have that boldness. Verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God, He is there. So why? What should we do? Then verse 22 says this, let us draw near. So we can come to the throne room. We can get near to the place where we can pray to God because of our relationship with Him through the blood of Christ. Then it says here, with a true heart and full assurance of faith. We can have confidence. We can have full assurance of faith. Now, I know the Bible does talk about our faith. And then there's a verse in there that says, you know, God, you know, I got faith, but then help thou my unbelief. Because our spiritual man and our spiritual side says, you know, God can do anything. He'll listen to me. He'll answer my prayer. And then our flesh over here, our weak side says, you know, I don't know if He will. I don't know if I've got it all together. I don't know if I'm doing what He, things like that. So we have that inner man battle, that old man, that new nature, old nature. But we can have full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Last verse, verse 23. Let us hold fast. So we can have confidence. We can hold on to it, the profession of our faith without wavering. For, and it all lies on this, not our goodness, not our abilities, not our even our faith, but it's all hinged on His faithfulness or His faithful that promised. So God is the one that told us that, hey, come to my throne room. You can come with boldness. And then now the second part underneath that we have, not only can we come to His throne with boldness, but we can come boldly. I'm sorry, we can have boldness, that confidence, but we can come boldly. And it says in Hebrews 4:16 is where it tells us that. It says here, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. So again, we don't come boldly again, cocky, telling Him our demands and say, you will do this. Because we're asking for mercy. We're asking for grace. We're asking for help. So we don't have a leg to stand on to basically boss God around. But we can come boldly and say, God, I need mercy. God, I need grace. I need help. And You have it there for me. And so forth. We can come to His throne boldly. The third thing underneath number one is we can know that God is listening to us. 1 Peter 3:12. 1 Peter 3:12. We can have that confidence. We can know. Because the Bible says here in verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. So if you're living righteously, you're right with God, you're not backslidden or you're not running from God, you're living righteous. The Bible says that His eyes are over you. And then it goes on to say, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And again, some of you, you know, your mom had that look when you were growing up. You know, across the room, you were doing something you shouldn't do, and you just felt something, and you're like, you know, rubbing your neck, looking, and then all of a sudden you caught her eye. And she had that look on her face like, if I could get to you, I would take care of you right now, but you better straighten up, and you know, because you could see that face. You know, and you say something jokingly sometimes to your parent, and they look at you with that face. They're not laughing. Ha ha ha, it's not funny. And so forth. So we see here that God, His eyes are over the righteous, His ears are open. But if you're not doing right, the Bible says His face is evil against you. So we can have that boldness, and we can come to that throne boldly and know that He's listening to us if we're living righteous. The fourth thing underneath this one, we can be rewarded for seeking Him. Hebrews 11:6, and a very familiar verse, it says here, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. So we have to have faith in God. And so we have to come to the throne knowing He hears us. And having faith, I'm going to try. No, we can have confidence. We can have that faith that He's going to hear us. And it says here, we can be rewarded. So without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so, of course, we can come to the throne boldly. And I know there's prayers of importunity in the Bible. We know the story of the man that had a visitor come over and custom was back then was to feed them, kind of like it's custom to feed people now, and so forth. And so, but he didn't have bread, so he went to his neighbor, knocked on his door, and he said, go away. We're already in the bed. We're sleeping. Come back tomorrow. I'll give you some. He knocked again, told him the same thing. He said, well, you don't understand. I got a friend that's here. I got to have some. He kept knocking and kept knocking. And so we have that God will reward us. But again, we want to pray in His will and in faith, but we can have confident that He will reward us. And last thing underneath this one, we can have good things from God. Matthew 7:7-11. Another several verses that we've heard before. It says here, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. And or what is or what man is there of whom, if a son ask him bread, will give him a stone? Or ask a fish, will give him a serpent? Now, I'm a kind of a dad that I could see myself doing that just to trick them. But I would do that and then give them the bread or take care of the snake and not scare them to death. But verse 11 says here, if any be evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask? So we see here that I love the Lord because He hears me. And we just saw five principles in the Bible that we can go boldly to the throne. We can expect God to do it, again, not out of a demand, but know that He wants to do that. And just like a father likes to give his son or daughter good gifts, Christmas was just a month or so ago, and again, I enjoyed watching kids via FaceTime, watching grandkids open gifts, things like that, and it makes me happy to see them happy. I guess I've got to that age that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I didn't mind the ones that I got as well, but I did enjoy more watching them. So we see here the Bible says God wants to answer our prayers. He wants to give us good things. So I love the Lord because He's answered my prayer. And I could give you the rest of the night, into the next week, into probably the next week, of prayers that God has answered through my lifetime. And I know it without a shadow of a doubt that God answered it because I didn't tell anybody else. I told Him. I remember when I went off to Bible college and the first time that I needed some money to pay a school bill or things like that, I could have called my dad and he would have paid it right away. But I wanted to be mature. I wanted to grow in my Christian faith. And so I would say, God, I know I could call my dad and he would pay this bill. But I want you to do it for me. And I remember the first time going to my mailbox there in college. You know, you have the little square mailboxes and everybody checks them, make sure, everybody hadn't forgotten you, things like that. And I opened it up. There was an envelope in there, pulled it out. And it had a note in there. I noticed, I guess it was a staff member or something that was privy to the bills. And it said, I know you were behind on your bill a little bit and I wanted to take care of that for you. God did that. I didn't tell anybody else. I didn't. You've heard the phrase the squeaky hinge gets the oil. There's some Christians going around there. They're squeaky hinges. They're dropping hints. I mean, big time. I need, and just tell God. If you believe that He can take care of it, we don't have to drop hints. I've had God give me things I just thought of, didn't even verbalize a prayer. I just thought that would be nice, and God took care of it. So God can do that. I remember the first time my wife and I had to deal with income taxes. Our first year of marriage, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to set up things like that to have a little bit of a buffer and all that kind of stuff and things like that. We had no clue. And, we get our income tax and we owe IRS. We owe them or IRS $700. Young couple just out of Bible college, we didn't have $7, much less $700. And so, of course, again, I probably could have called my dad. I have this financial stuff, and income taxes. I have no clue how to do it yet. And he would have probably paid it. But my wife and I got on the bed, beside the bed, and prayed. And so, we want to grow. Now, of course, the next year we had educated ourselves a little bit and didn't have to do that again. But this first one, we had $700. And so we're praying, Lord, You've got to do something. And we probably could have went to our preacher. We probably could have went to the school that we work for and said, we got to help us out. And they probably would have. But we talked to God and said, God, we want You to take care of this. So we get a phone call. My grandfather is in Florida. He lives in Georgia. He's in Florida. He said, hey, we're in Florida. We want to stop by and take y'all out to eat. I was on board with that. I like to eat. And so we went to eat. And so we're sitting there talking, and he's like, yeah, I'm in Florida because I got a rental house down here in Daytona, and I had to go paint it or get it painted, or that's what it was. I'm going to get it painted, going to sell it because, he had rental properties all over the place, had a big business. He said, income taxes are killing me. And he said, I want to sell this house so I can pay my, income tax, things like that. And I was like, yeah. I was like, we didn't know about income tax. We owe $700. And just in communication, I went down actually and painted that house for him. And so he let me make $700. and took care of that. That was, I think, our first married couple answered prayer. And we were having a shouting fit in the living room. You know, where are we going to get $700? But God gave it to us. And I remember praying for my grandfather for 7 years. Every night of my life, I remember praying for him. Saw God answer that prayer. That's awesome. And like I told you a while ago, just little things. Again, new in the ministry, didn't have lots of money, still don't, all that kind of stuff. But my wife needed some, was it black flats? She needed some black flats. And so, you know, she's looking for black flats. This, that, that. And so my brother and his wife comes to town, and she's wearing a pair of black flats. And she says, "These hurt my feet. What size do you wear?" And I mean, brand new. She said, "I just bought them yesterday." And it was the exact kind my wife was looking for. And they fit. I mean, God can do awesome things like that. Just pray and ask Him. Again, not a genie in a lamp, not a demand, but God can do many things like that. So many times we've committed to giving to missions or giving to a building fund or giving to some special project at churches that we've been in over our, in our life and things like that. We didn't have it, but by faith we said we're going to. And I don't know of one that God's not provided for. God hears your prayer. And number two, not only does I love the Lord because He hears my prayer, number two, because He handles everything. God handles everything. He's not going to put on us more than we can handle, the Bible says. He's our Heavenly Father. He's God. Nothing catches Him by surprise. He can handle it. We have that tipping point. We have that overwhelmed point. And we can't handle everything. We might try, but we're going to fall short. But God can handle everything. In Psalm 116, where we were at the beginning, verses 3 and 4, it says this, "And the sorrows of death compassed me, and pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." In verse 4 says this, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. I beseech thee, deliver my soul." So we've got to that point where we've had to say, I'm at my wit's end, or I can't handle another thing, or I've had it up to here. That don't catch God by surprise. He can handle it. And that's what in Psalm 116 was saying here. You know, I found sorrows of death. I found trouble. I found sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord and begged Him, and He delivered my soul. So God can handle everything. I told you in one of the sermons I preached not too long ago about my call to preach, how God handled that. You know, and I had the two verses, and I asked Him to have my pastor preach out of one of them, and he preached out of both, things like that. So God handled that situation for me, proved Himself to me. Not that He has to, but I trust Him. Again, when I went to Bible college, I'll tell you how much of a, I guess, hillbilly, redneck, or whatever you want to call it, I was. I didn't know there was such thing as a Bible college. The only college that I knew, again, at that time, was the University of Georgia. Because that's where I lived. I was in Georgia, and I liked the Bulldogs. But I didn't know there was a Bible college. And so when I surrendered to preach, my pastor recommended me going to Bible college. And I was like, okay, where are they? What are they called? And he mentioned off several. And so I said, okay, God, 17-year-old boy, handle it. I don't know where to go. Which one do you want me to go to? I want to be in your will. I want to do what you want me to do. We were in that ACE school at the time. We went to an ACE convention, and we sang some songs, things like that. And this Bible college had a tour group there helping judge all the singing. They offered me a scholarship. God just took care of it. He handled it. And lo and behold, you know, I wanted to marry who God wanted me to marry. She went to the same college. He handled that. We wanted to know what to do when after Bible college. I remember that my week up to my graduation, all these guys were doing interviews and people were, you know, calling them, things like that. And I'm just sitting there, no interview, no phone call, things like that, up until the week before I graduated. And finally, I said, God, you got to handle this. And somebody took us out to lunch and offered us a job. And everything that we've done, what we've, where we've lived, God's always handled that. Told you about some of that this morning. What we've had, God's always handled that. In raising our kids, we didn't know what to do. We just trusted the Lord, studied the Bible, and put into practice what we did. But He helped us handle all those things. So I love the Lord because not only does He hear my prayers, but He handles everything. Number three, I love the Lord because He did help me. In verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He helped me. When somebody helps you out of a situation, you feel maybe some gratitude. You've run out of gas. Somebody stops, picks you up, takes you to get some gas, brings you back. Your feet thank them, I'm sure. And so forth. If somebody helps you in a situation, you feel an obligation to thank them and so forth. Obviously, we are all indebted to God. Paul said, I'm a debtor. So I'm going to give the rest of my life. I'm not even going to get married. I'm not going to worry about the things of this life. I'm just going to 110% serve God for the rest of my life. Why? Because I'm in debt. So he helped us. Verse 5 says this, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Verse 6, and the Lord preserved the simple. So in other words, he helped me. He kept me out of trouble. I was brought low and he helped me. So again, I was saved at 10, like I've told you, and kind of got out of church the 7 years between when I was 17 and got into a good church. So I was, I guess, backslidden, if you want to call it, running from the Lord, whatever you want to call it. And he helped me out of that. I wasn't looking for him. There's a lot of people that weren't looking for God, but he was looking for them. And he found them. And so I appreciate it. And so, you know, a person that I know, Curtis Hudson, used to keep a gas can in his car. He called it, you know, soul winning. He was always looking for somebody out of gas. He'd give them the gas. But then they would feel gratitude and they would listen. And a lot of them would get saved. So same thing here. God helped me, and I appreciate that. He helped me by delivering my soul from hell. And then he also helped me by being gracious and merciful to me. Grace is not giving me what I did deserve, and mercy gave me what I didn't deserve. He's helped me by preserving my life. He's helped me by bringing me low and keeping me into a place where I would trust him. And I need his help or I'll make a mess. And so I praise God and I love him because he helped me. Last one, I love the Lord because he allows me to help him. I love the Lord because he allows me to help him. So the four things here we see, and I'll finish this one in a second. I love the Lord because he hears my prayers. I love the Lord because he handles everything. I love the Lord because he helped me. And lastly, I love the Lord because he allows me to help him. Verse 14 of the same chapter, Psalm 116, verse 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And so I owe a debt that I will spend the rest of my life paying. Verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. So when I die, I want to have my life had meant something. Nothing, I guess there are some other things more sad to me than at a funeral, and I've preached a few, that there wasn't a lot to say about the person. That they didn't have a testimony or they didn't make a mark in anybody else's life and things like that. Some of them maybe just outlived all their family and so forth. But that's sad to me that there's something that can't be said. So we see here, precious in the sight of the Lord of the death of his saints. So when a godly person passes away, there's people there paying their respects. Somebody that maybe that person led them to the Lord. Maybe that person was a good example to them. And so precious. So I want to I want God to allow me or let me to help him. Verse 16 says this, O Lord, truly am I thy servant. I am thy servant. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows, verse 18, unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. So I love the Lord because of these four things right here tonight. Number one, I know if I have to pray to him, he's going to hear it. And I'm thankful for that. Number two, I know he's going to handle everything. There's some things that I'm, I guess, maybe apprehensive about. There's some things that I'm, you know, I don't know the answer to, but I'm not worried because he's going to take care of it. He's going to help me with those situations. And then he helped me in the past when I was maybe backslidden and running from him. He helped and get me straight, and then he allows me to help him. Nothing greater than knowing that you're being used by God to do whatever. To be an example at work, that's helping. To be an encouragement to another brother, that's helping. To be a soul winner, that's helping. He will allow you to help him. And we see here in Psalm 116, in verse 1, it says, I love the Lord because, and we see several things listed here. Why do you love the Lord? Do you love him because he hears you? Do you love him because he handles everything for you? Do you love him because he helped you and keep you from making a mess of life? Do you love him because he allows you to help him and so forth? Again, a lot of people like to do things because it maybe gives them that warm and fuzzy feeling. I like to help people because. I like to help people because. And that's good. That's better than hurting people. That's better than hindering people. But if you allow God to let you help Him, you'll help a whole lot more people. So again, I love the Lord because. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us all, Lord, to fall in love with you if we're not. Lord, help us to take advantages of the opportunity that we have, especially for prayer and for helping you and helping others and then allowing you to help us. And Lord, I just ask you to be with this church. Lord, help it to grow. Lord, put your hand upon it. And Lord, I just ask you to bind Satan off of it in the blood of Christ. Lord, I know that Satan's going to try his best to hinder each individual in here and this church collectively. And so, Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to keep it in front of you and with our prayers. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to do our best, Lord, to be the right examples and to allow you to help you through this ministry. In Jesus' name, let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Derek will lead us in an invitational hymn if you'd like to come pray and thank the Lord and tell the Lord why you love Him. Or you can pray right there where you are. Think about something. Why I love the Lord because.